The book of Psalms 128. I want to preach on the house a few minutes. If you'll stand with us, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God today. Found the book of Psalms if you're able. Psalms 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides, here's our Bible word, of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children. And peace upon Israel. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You for this time together. Help me to stay in the Word of God today and to preach right. I'll be careful to honor You and thank You. God, would You do big things for us today? Because You're a God that can do big things. And I sure do need You in my life and in my home and the church I pastor. God, help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Genesis chapter number 2 today. I want to preach on the house of the home. If you look up this word house, it means where one lives permanently, especially as a member of a family. I'm so saddened of how that some people call where they live a house. Raising up children in an environment that is so ungodly and know very little about a Bible. I think today, as I'd said, we're very concerned about keeping our church right, and we ought to be. Because, honey, I'm going to tell you, if God's not here and if God's not ministering, then we've just wasted gas to get down here. We better keep our church holy. We better keep our church separated. We better keep our church clean and on fire and going for the glory of God. We talk a lot about keeping our church in order, but something's dawned on me the last couple of years. We better keep our homes in order because so go our homes, so go our church. Our church will never be stronger than its home. You take Brother Donald and Sister Marcelle. They're some of the oldest married members that we have here. I respect them. I look up to them. I appreciate Brother Donald standing and testifying. Young people need to see that going on workings in the house of God. And so therefore, with our older couples in the church, I don't know if you've noticed this, but they're leaving our country. Somebody's got to pick the banner up. Somebody's got to realize that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Somebody's got to realize and teach discipline in the home. Now, I want to say this of the house today. First of all, there's the foreordination of the house. Genesis 2, verse 7. Let's look what God has to say. The foreordination of the house. I'm glad God knows what we need. Now, in verse 18, the foreordination of the home, it's expressed by God. Look in verse number 18 of Genesis chapter number 2. For the Bible says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him." It's not good that a man be alone. Why? Because you half crazy. It's not good to be alone. I don't like being alone. I got some trees and planted a few this week, and I text Miss Renee. I said, I wish you'd just come and sit down over here and be with me while I'm planting these trees. You say, why do you say that, preacher? I don't like being alone. I love my wife. She's my best friend. She's my best critic. We all need a critic. Some of you can't take criticism because you can't take preaching. If some of you was looking for as many reasons to come back to this church instead of looking for reasons not to come back, you'd be here a whole lot more often. But I'm going to tell you this foreordination of the home. It's expressed by God. He said it's not good that man be alone. And then verse 20, you'll notice that it's not only expressed by God, but it's established by God. Adam gave names to all the cattle, the fowl of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. The lady's supposed to help the man. And sir, this is what you don't like about the situation. When she goes to telling you the truth to help you, you don't like it, but get over it, it'll help you. A help meet. Not a hinderer, but a help. He don't need a nagger. God made your husband the way that He made him. And then women want to put their hands in their life and try to readjust him. But honey, sometimes we just unadjustable. Being married is a lot like this. We've been married 37 years. Now, when I lost weight, I found out some things I can eat and I don't get fat on. Last Easter, I was eating them little chocolate Cadbury eggs. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They got an M&M cover on them. They sure are good just to lay in the bed and munch them. But I figured out I can eat me a handful of jelly beans and don't swell up too bad. I love jelly beans. And being married is a lot like eating jelly beans in the dark. I'm laying in there watching History Channel or Discovery Channel or Gunsmoke. Somebody say amen right there. The light's out. And Miss Renee thinks so much of me, I got to spilling jelly beans in the bed. She went and got me a Tupperware bowl and put a lid on them. And now I'm just putting my whole hand up in that whole bowl of jelly. I was sitting there in the dark eating the other night. I love reds and I love grapes and I love limes, but I hate licorice. Why in the world would anybody waste their time putting a black jelly bean in the bag? I was sitting there doing good. All of a sudden, I popped that thing in my mouth and bit it, and I jumped up and spit out in the garbage can. Renee said, what are you doing? You having a heart attack? I said, no, this thing tastes awful. Ain't it amazing in our marriage you're enjoying the reds and the lemons and the oranges, and all of a sudden it gets dark and something's popped up in your mouth you ain't never experienced before. Just an old stinking black jelly bean. Folks get crazy, don't they? And so you've got to understand this. Sometimes marriage ain't always sweet. It's a work in progress. Now, the older some of you boys get, the more you're going to realize, just keep your mouth shut. You're just going to realize it's better just to say I'm sorry and go on, go fishing. But I want to say this thing, help me. And then I want to say this as your preacher. Are you helping your husband to be a husband? Or do you spend your life just confronting him with everything that is wrong and trying to change what God has made? Now I want to say that this preordination of this house, God intended for a man and a woman to set up housekeeping. And the Bible says that it's expressed by God and is established by God. He said in verse number 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now the formation of the house. I believe, and I don't pull any punches, I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. And this is what is hitting our society. This is what's hitting our young people. In the forefront of the marriage is a great battle going on between man and woman. We have civil unions. We have civil laws that make it legal for same-sex marriage. The sodomites are pushing their lifestyles on America as a normal relationship. Young people, look at your preacher. That's not normal. Young girls, it's not normal. Young men, it's not normal. Lobbyists are trying to pass bills to silence the preachers in our churches simply for condemning a lethal lifestyle. If I seen your children playing with a loaded gun, they wouldn't be 4 or 5 years old. What kind of preacher would I be if I didn't reach in and grab a hold of that loaded gun? What kind of preacher would I be if I didn't warn your children of the wrongs that's going on in our society? What kind of preacher would I be? What kind of mom and daddy are you not warning your children and teaching your children? Lobbyists are trying to pass bills that will silence our churches. You'll see a day we won't even be able to have an internet ministry. I'll get locked up. You'll see a day that as a man will get locked up because he's reading out of the Bible because it offends somebody. We're in sad shape. I don't know if y'all really realize how sad of a shape we're in or not. We're in sad shape. They're using our public schools to get at our children to indoctrinate and infiltrate them on the idea that there's nothing wrong with an alternative lifestyle. Then that sinful lifestyle is portrayed and produced on TV and is being common and normal. And if anyone who disagrees with them, they're shown to be ignorant and intolerant. We must not allow devils or liberals and their kissing cousins of our day to establish our policies. We must believe the Word of God and take our stand on the Word of God for biblical marriage. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter number 18 and verse 22, Leviticus 18, verse number 22. Listen to me, young people. Your preacher's not being mean. Your preacher's reading out of the Bible. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Romans chapter number 1, verse 26. Romans 1, verse number 26. You say that was in the old Bible. Well, let's see what the new Bible said. Romans 1, 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affection. You know, you say, well, I wish God would leave me alone. You better hope He don't leave you alone. Because if God gives you up, you'll destruct yourself. God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. That word unseemly is shameful. And receiving in themselves that recompense of error which was meet. If God would leave man alone, then they would self-destruct because they cannot reproduce. Now I want to say this. Homosexuality is a sin. And God can deliver from that sin. Drunkenness is a sin. God can deliver from that sin. Adultery is a sin. God can deliver from that sin. And now, I want to say that here we see this great pattern for marriage, or this where God has foreordained marriage in the foreordination of the house between a man and a woman. And you know something? This is where people, I think, get off mark. You can stand against the issues and don't get mean about it. But let me tell you something. You ought to be personal about it and realize, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Somebody called me last week and said, Pastor, I've got a 17-year-old girl. She's went out of the bounds of our homes. We just can't do nothing with her. I said, I could. I said, aren't you paying bills there? Boy, it's quiet now. And I love when it gets quiet here. I didn't know 16, 17-year-olds made decisions for households. I'll assure you, I didn't make decisions at my household. My daddy said, boy, you're thinking crazy again. He said, boy, why you won't think crazy? So, I'm just saying, you can stand against the issues and not be mean about it. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We don't do that. Young people, I want to tell you something. I don't care. And while I'm hitting that, now I'm going to get some eye rolling right here. Y'all not going to like this, but I'm going to say it anyway because I ain't got to see you tonight. This lifestyle so promoted out of Hollywood. Now our governor in Georgia is bypassing the bill, and so it's going to bring us a lot of trouble. You know, now I know y'all going to look at me and you're going to get snippy and you're going to jerk your head. Maybe you won't get a crick in your neck. Maybe God will have mercy on you. But you know the show, I'm going to show you what is pumped in our houses to this young generation. You know the show The Bachelor? Do you think I would ever send my little girl off someplace to meet a strange boy that she ever knew, to publicize on national TV that I'm just basically selling my child? And I know some of y'all don't like that, but I'm so old school, honey, I don't even use locks on the door. But see, we publicize that you see how it infiltrates our homes. And I may lose two or three families over this day, but I'm just going to tell you what. We're going to keep our church old-fashioned. You got an old-fashioned preacher here, and you know that before you come up in here. And so I'm not coming in here to tickle you and tell you how good Hollywood is. Hollywood is out of hell this morning. I will assure you, I would have never shipped Megan and Macy off to meet a boy didn't know his background, has turned him loose to it. What's people thinking? They're not thinking. And so we've got such an infiltration of advertisement that's coming on our children. And then when mom and daddy stand up against this lifestyle, they think you're so mean. But mom and daddy, this is what you're going to have to understand about your children. You cannot be a good mom and daddy being their best friend. God didn't call you to be their best friend. He called you to be mom and daddy. He's their best friend. So stand your ground. And that'll be a whole other day on child raising. But I won't talk about this morning on the house, the Ford Nation. God intended man and woman to be brought together. And I'm going to tell you what, a marriage that's right, there's nothing no better. The problem is, some of you just ain't reached 50 near enough. You can shake your head up and down. I know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you got grandbabies sitting around, you just start to, it really dawns on you. You know, this thing ain't really all about me, is it? This thing ain't, this ain't as bad as what I thought. You know, stuff, I used to turn a table over in the house. Now I laugh about what I used to, how crazy I was. I don't even know. Just the grace of God, my wife stayed with me. I'm telling you right now. I was past crazy. And I hate that my children seen some fits I throwed. I know none of y'all got none of them issues. I'm just saying, I've had some big issues. But now, God, and I'm going to tell you, when a marriage is right, there's nothing any better. It's great to have a mate that loves you and supports you, cares about you, and is trying to help you in life's way every day of your life. And so I think it's so important that we realize what God intended for our home. Now, God has foreordained the house of a man and woman to be together. And then when man and woman gets together, you know what comes out of that most of the time? Children. And what a great responsibility in this day. There's families that is seeing things today that me and Renee didn't have to deal with 35 years ago. And if it's ever been a time that a family needs to be in a Bible-preaching church where the altar's open getting help for your life and your family, it is in 2016. But can... I know it's 5 out of 12. I ain't even got on my outline yet. But could I just ask y'all something as you preach for a minute? Isn't it important to you to have a home that God is pleased with? Because He said, a man that fears the Lord, his house will be blessed. There's the foreordination of the home, the house. Secondly, I want to talk about this. There's the foundation of the house. You know, Jesus talks about the rock and the sand. In Matthew 7, verse 24, I wish you'd underline this in your Bible. Matthew 7 and 24. I done got your feelings hurt about The Bachelor. I don't know if you can handle this series or not. Look. I'm not a dictator, honey. Watch what you want. Do what you want. There's repercussions. I tell you what, I spent my first 15 years in this church worrying about everybody and everything and how I could handle this. I done figured out all I can do is preach and go home and see about my family.
You'll never have a home till you build it on the Lord Jesus. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, who saith, heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I liken him to a wise man which built his house on a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and look, it fell not, for it was founded. There's my thought. Founded. Founded. Upon a rock. Founded. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, doeth them not, shall be likened to a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Same thing happens. Look in verse 27. Rain descended, floods came, winds blew. Let me tell you, just because you're a Christian don't mean storms ain't coming. They're coming to houses all alike this morning. Just because you love God don't mean that you're immune to storms. The devil's going to try to tear your house down. But look what happens. Something's different. And it fell. And great was the fall of it. Let me tell you, honey, on this foundation of the home, if it's not focused and built upon the teachings of the Word of God and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, storms will tear your house down. Storms is coming. They came to both houses, but the finishes were different. It fell not. The oven was destroyed. And great was the destruction of it. Now I want to say today that storms is going to come. The devil's going to try his best to tear you home. There's five things every house needs. You ready? All homes have four basic needs. Jesus is the greatest home builder, and the devil is the greatest home wrecker. And I want to say this, all homes have four basic needs. Number one, salvation. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved by the grace of God, repent of your sins, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, they need stability. Number three, they need security. Four, they need sustenance. And fifth, they need satisfaction. You need a house that you enjoy going home to. Some of y'all, when you pull in your driveway, oh Lord, I'm home. Honey, when I get inside of my driveway, I say, glory. I get done preaching on Wednesday or Thursday night, 9 o'clock. Sometimes I drive to 3 in the morning just to get into my driveway and my bed and my wife. I love my wife and my electric blanket. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, why in the world do you run the roads all night long? Because I love being at home. I've got something and somebody good to go home to. Foundation. Megan and Macy were little. You wouldn't believe the storms we encountered as being pastor. Just being mom and daddy, but you know what? We withstood it because we built our home on a rock. And Jesus will never let you down. We've had issues you'd be surprised about as a preacher's family at Hal. But you know something in this suit? I'm no different than you. I'm flesh and bones, honey. If it wasn't for the grace of God and the Holy Ghost that indwells me, I'd be like any other man, and I realize that this morning. But I come to tell you, Jesus can straighten out anything that ever come to your house. God is greater than the devil. If your house is built on a solid rock, the storms come, I want to say, you will make it through. The foundation of the home. The foundation of the home. Then I want to say the formation of the home. Once you get a foundation up, then it's some building to go on. I want to say this because I want to get the last two thoughts. God's Word ought to be your guide. Where's your Bible in your house? You know where your remote is. Where's your Bible? Every house ought to have God's Word. Every house ought to have goals. My wife said something to me about her daddy passing this week. She said, My daddy's whole life consisted in how to make our life better. Do you hear me? That generation that's not just a handful left, their goal, how do I better my family? And a lot of times a bigger, better job ain't all it's cracked up to be. If your job will lead you from heaven to hell, it ain't a good job. If your job leads you from your babies, I'd choke that job. They need a daddy and they need a mama. I know we got to have money to have things, but we ain't got to have two new vehicles and three houses either. My wife worked 30-something years. I did the same thing and still working, whether some of y'all believe that or not. You can keep your opinion to yourself. You ought to wear these 12s a couple of months. You might keep your mouth shut about your preacher. But I'm going to tell you one thing. They had a mama that they knowed they could call and come home to, and she was there. They had a daddy that was there. And I'm going to tell you, every family here needs to have goals. You know what your best goal ought to be? What's our best goal? Not of how many. Not of where we can go Sunday, but can we get to church first Sunday? That ought to be our biggest goal of our week. A light come on. I'm going to preach 2 hours this morning. A light come on. Meg, I love my kids. They keep things so real. Megan got up to me the other day, and Megan's a sweet child. Macy's just fantastic child. Now, Macy's, I'm going to tell you, Macy's a sweet child. She just don't take no junk. She got it honest. This is why she says, she said, Daddy, has it dawned on you who you pastoring? I said, well, I ain't been asked that this week. She said, do you know what it is to get children up every morning, get them dressed, get them fed, get them to school, get them picked up, get them home, get them to ball practice, get them to ball practice, get them to ball practice, get them home, get them bathed, get them in the bed, and do it again tomorrow. And we do it 5 days, and then Saturday, you know what we do? We wash. We get the house clean, some of you. We get grass cut. We get our bills paid. We get our laundry picked up. And about 6:30, we sit down and then you say, what's for supper? Macaroni and cheese. So they dump the macaroni and cheese out. And then we wake up Sunday morning and we get kids ready. We get them fed. We get them to church. We get them home, get them a nap, get them up, get them back to church. And you wonder why we look tired? And I know what Miss Renee said. Me and Ken did it. Put your big boy britches on. Adjust! We did it. And we traveled 1 hour to get to the church where you as deacon had to preach to you. But then there's something different, fellas, that's starting to dawn on some of you. Megan and Macy then went everywhere me and Renee took them. Because they was in car seats behind us. But they're not in car seats no more. Now they have their life. And I want to say this formation of the home, very important what you put in your family. You know, y'all, everybody knows. Everybody knows I'm not a ball game nut. If that's your thing, wonderful. Everybody needs something, I guess. But you better get involved in your youngins meeting the Lord more than playing All-Stars. People don't think about dying meeting God no more. It ought to be your goal every week to get to the house of God. And then, I try to look and listen and do what we need. We don't have service tonight. We have 3 Sunday nights a month. There's no reason our families can't come back for an hour of service to get Bible teaching. I know it's inconvenient, but you'll notice this. Things God blesses are never convenient. It's not convenient for me to write this Macedonian check I'm fixing to write because it's the first mission, son. That ain't convenient. Matter of fact, that would make a nice car payment every month. But honey, I got stuff that money can't buy. I can't cut my blessing off. I got to have God's blessings on my family. Giving's part of it, contrary to what you may think. But I can tell you basically, you've got to determine that you're going to build your family and your house on the church. The Lord Jesus Christ. Fourthly, the fortification of the home. The devil's going to fight you tooth and toenail. You know what the devil's done to nearly every family I pastor? I know some of y'all don't think I'm a smart individual, but under all of this redneck, I'm pretty sharp guy. I just don't ag on like I am. I have to do too much. It got quiet then, didn't it? You know what the devil's done to the average family I pastor? He's got you so busy. He's got you so busy. You know what that generation that we buried Monday did? They got up and they worked. They come home. They poured oil in a lantern. They lit a stove. They cooked their supper. They lit a lantern. They read their Bible and they went to bed about 8 o'clock. That's what they did. But I want to ask y'all something right there. You say, Lord, what a boring life. Why, I'd just go nuts. I like it pretty good. Can I ask y'all something? Look what they had. Look what we got. Look what they had going on in their country because they were prayer warriors and churchgoers and loved Jesus. Now look what's going on in our society. Hello? The devil will try to get you so busy that you forget about the basics. This has always been our goal. Our kids would have nice things to wear, good things to eat, and a good place to go to church, and a home environment that would promote them to do the same for their children. The devil has fought our home, and guess what? The devil's going to fight your home. And this right here would help most of you to realize this. You're human. We all going to make mistakes. One of the biggest problems in our marriage, besides busy and finances, we get so financially strapped because we want. It ain't what we need, it's what we want that gets us in trouble. Our wants. And we get so financially strapped. And then, this is what the devil will do. The devil will turn you on each other and say, well, now, y'all are the enemy. Let's fight all the time. Let's butt heads and let's fight. Instead of consoling and talking and praying, let's just fight it out. I mean, let's just throw down. And then this is where this comes through that I want to close with, is forgiveness. One of the biggest things that's hurting our homes is forgiveness. Men, I'm going to say something. I said it in prayer room, and I mean it with all of my heart. Women are different than men. They are a emotional makeup. Women have feelings, and those hurtful words you say cut them to the bone, and they don't get over that in one evening. I've said things and didn't even know I said it. You know, I've talked to Miss Renella. I said, honey, what's one of the main things that a woman really wants out of a marriage with a man? And she said, well, probably respect. Just taking us for granted. My T-shirt's clean. Well, have you washed them? That didn't work on this side. Let me go over on the new side, see. You ain't got this ready? What have you done? Big boy, what you doing? And so I've noticed this, though. You know, we say things sometimes and we don't even know we said it. I can be riding down the road going out to eat. And I can tell, I've been married nearly 37 years. I can tell when Miss Renee's out of sorts with me. But, I mean, just like this. And she'll be sitting over there and her lip pooches out just a little bit in a quiver sometime. And she looks over her glasses like this at her iPhone. I say, honey, the kids call you? No. One of the ladies from the church call you? No. Do you want to eat? Yeah. I'm looking, you know, and I'm saying, man, I got to sit through this at supper. And I say, honey, what's wrong? I tell you what's wrong. You don't listen. Well, man, don't listen. You ain't heard nothing I've said. What'd you say? I don't know if I should handle this porn or not, Brother Mike. What'd you say, babe? You'll get that cell phone out your head. You may hear what I got to say. Hang on a minute. I got to get this call. And it don't matter if I say, baby, I'm sorry. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to try my best to do better. And I don't know why I do that, but I won't try to do better. And I done forgot all about it. In about 3 days, I look over there and she's still looking over them glasses, huh? And I'm thinking, man. I say, baby, we done settled that. That's what she said. Yeah. Yeah. See, the things that I've said to my wife that has hurt her, if I'd have kept my mouth shut, just listened to what my wife needed from me, just from me. You know what she'd say? She'd say, you're a preacher to everybody but me. I've had my girls say it. I'll tell you how bad it's got in my life sometime. One of the most high-maintenance families I've ever pastored, they're not here now. My grandbaby was just born. Megan handed me that baby, and he called, and this is what the member said, "My wife's about dead. You need to get here." So I hand my grandbaby to Megan. And you know what Megan said? "Really, Daddy? Really, Daddy?" I said, "Well, I've got a family calling me, and they're looking for reasons to leave. And if I don't go, I know they're leaving." And I walked in the Mercer room. You know what was going on? Wasn't nobody dying. Somebody wanted babysitting. Wasn't nobody even critical. This is what my family's told me a lot. "Daddy, you preacher to everybody but me. You're everybody else's daddy. Won't you be my daddy?" Miss Emily, won't you come? Sometimes we get so big. You know, this is what I found out, Brother Mark, Brother Michael. If I don't got her, I don't got y'all. This week, I was supposed to be in Mount Airy, North Carolina. Renee's daddy died. I called the pastor. I said, "Look, I got to be with my wife this week." You know what the man of God said? He said, "Brother Ken, that's exactly where you need to be." I wish sometime that I could have started out in my marriage at 50 years old. Now I'll close this. There's the fortification of home. Devil's going to attack you, but let me tell you something. Your home tore up and them little young'uns ain't got no mama and daddy. It ain't worth it. You've got to practice forgiveness. This Bible says, "As Christ Jesus forgave you, forgive also one another." Has He forgiven you of anything? Why are you still holding this above your wife's head or your husband's head? Has she asked you to forgive her? Has he asked you to forgive her? Then you ought to forgive them. People make mistakes. You know why? Because we're human. All you can do is try to fix it and move on and forgive one another. But the devil will have you to where you won't forgive. And when you lay down with that kind of junk in your heart at night, there's no way that your home will never be what God intended it to be. A home needs security. Your children don't need to wonder where you at, where you gone, when you coming home. Need stability. This is what we do on Sunday. It's not a question, do we? That's where we're going. I'll deal with this one Sunday. The husband being husband. You know what that means? It means a band. You know what a wife means? It means a weaver. Weaving, mending, helping. Hey, sir, let me ask you this as your preacher. Why shouldn't the devil attack you home? You trying to raise them babies? Working from daylight to dark? Loving God? Why wouldn't the devil attack you? But you better get your priorities right. Sometimes you've got to do what you don't want to do just to do what you got to do. Miss Emily plays this morning. I want to ask you something. Is your house built on this rock? Jesus turns away none. There's nothing that our Lord can't handle or can't fix. I've not come here today to beat you over the head. I've not come here to drag you down. I've come here to just try to get a light turned on over you. What you need in your home.